We had Willie on the radio the other night, and something that was said. They said that man's got more than theology, he has passion.
Yes.
You see, there's the death work. And there, well, E.W. Kenyon said it this way, there's the legal side of redemption, although I don't like calling legal because I don't need a lawyer to God, even though I do have an advocate.
Yes.
But then there is the vital side. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our hearts. You have the death work and the life work. What you heard, a lot of what Mike shared was about the life work and how we process. But then you heard the death work and how this works in our hearts. Now, somebody says, well, you know, I don't really agree with that. Well, that's great, because you're going to get a chance to share a little later how you see it. And people may think this is a little weird, but you know what I find? I find that I'm sick and tired of spending years in church where you couldn't question anything. My God's big enough to question. And if you walk out of here and you send me an email and you say, you know what, I just don't bear witness with that, brother, that's fine. It doesn't affect me. It's not going to offend me. You know, both of these guys, when we set up the schedule, we gave them more time. And you know what they said? Please take us off. Give more time. We want to hear what God has revealed to them. So I'm not talking about, and I'm telling you, they wouldn't be here if they were any other way. I'm going to say this, and we'll take Peter, chapter 1, in the Message Bible. Says, I, Peter, an apostle on some by Jesus the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. No one is missing, not one forgotten. God the Father has his eye on each of you, determined by the work of this Holy Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. May every good thing from God be ours. That's the Message Bible.
Thank you.
You see the balance there. And so I'll be coming back. We're going to take a 10-minute break. And please, when I say 10 minutes, please be 10 minutes. And then some of you may be thinking, man, I really want to respond to that. Well, wait till roundtable. We're going to let everybody go. So we'll go ahead and begin. We want to do what we can to keep on schedule as far as my speaking, because I want to make a lot of room for other people. So that's one of the reasons we didn't want to have such a strict schedule. We called it open mic roundtable. That just means it gets you involved. Already, there has been a lot of things shared, and there's a lot of things that has been probing within me. If you can see, it doesn't take very long to hang out with somebody like Mike Clegg and Willie Cripps too. I have a lot of questions. But the title of my message is The Sovereignty of God and the Origin of Evil on Three Dimensions. It was a message inspired by Kelly Varner, because as many of you know, in Kelly Varner's teaching, he talks about 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, which means that we have the whole progression. You know, we have outer court, holy place, most holy place. We have Passover, then we have Pentecost, then we have tabernacles. And most of us look at these things based on our maturity. We look at these things as we mature and grow up in Christ, which means that there's a lot of things that look one way in the 30-fold realm that doesn't look the same way in the 60-fold realm. And so as I begin to share these things, it's really kind of some of my journey. I grew up in a Baptist Costas. My family on my father's side was very, very strict Southern Baptist, the kind that talks about once saved, always saved, and drills in morality. Now, I will say this, I honor the fact that once saved, always saved is a very, very minute nugget of what's called eternal security. But I thank God for those roots, because these guys got me studying the Bible. It was the Baptist background. Now, my uncle got to playing around the creek bank of a bunch of Assemblies of God and got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he is still with the Assemblies of God. And my father was United Pentecostal, which is the same background as Willie and Grady and many of these people here. On the other side, we were Holy Rollers. We were not only just Pentecostal, we were Holy Roller Pentecostals.
All right.
We were part.
Glory.
And on top of that, we were Native American Pentecostals. Now, we would have swung from chandeliers, but we all took a vow of poverty, so we didn't have enough money to buy chandeliers. So this is the way that I kind of grew up. And I grew up with this idea of this kind of distant deity, as Max Lucado put it, this God that was way far off, ruling the universe. The only time he messed with me is if he had this bigger purpose, so I'm going to bless you so I can make this sin. You know, it's kind of like the God that laid hands on the Apostle Paul. You know, you hear about him only one time. I thought I was that dude. God's going to answer my prayer to get this big thing. But if I screwed up, if I blew it, let me tell you, the God of this universe will stop everything to make sure that I am fully prosecuted. And that's the view I had of God. And it's, I'm speaking metaphorically, but it's like I was encoded with this book of the law. I mean, that's what I was growing up in church. And it had words in it like sovereignty. Now listen, sovereignty is not a bad word, but it's a word that was bad to me because I heard the most grotesque, nastiest things I ever heard in church and testimony. And then the word would follow it, but God is sovereign. I didn't want nothing to do with that idea of God. In fact, Brian Manning says that the script for self-hatred is a distorted view of God. Now, did these people come up and try to beat this into my head? Well, no, it's kind of something I drew from. But then, on the other hand, it was all about holiness. You know, don't smoke, chew, or hang out with girls that do. That was kind of my message. Now, I'm from Arkansas, so some girls chew. And I'm going to stay out of that right now because I'm back home.
It's still chewing one, dude.
I want to make a couple announcements. Sandra Kelly has done some writing called Unconditional Love back there. It's an awesome writing. There's just some powerful things that she has said there. Please get a copy of it and glean from it. We also have Leon Fancher, the article that was put in the paper, The Incarnational Jesus. Dynamic article. And I've known Leon for a number of years. He's like a father to me, and we're going to have him up a little later to share. Well, here is my thing. I started out in the 30-fold realm that I grew up in the Word of Faith movement, and here was where we, you know, kind of majored in the 30-fold. If you're from that movement, you may throw something at me because I'm fixing to say this. But God is good, the devil's bad. That's the only paradigm I had. John 10:10. For the thief cometh not to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that he might have life and have that more abundant. And for years of my life, I heard scriptures that I didn't know what to do with. And I would go to the pastors and the elders and say, please, please, explain this scripture to me. And they'd say, well, take that scripture, if you don't understand, and put it on a shelf. After 10 years, I had a big cluttered shelf that came crashing down, and I didn't have a break of faith. I knew that it wasn't my faith that was going to bring anything to pass. And I went through this constant pursuit. I grew up in hearing guys like Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Charles Capps. And these guys had all these in-depth studies that sovereignty was a bad word. I read Greek and Hebrew books this thick that talked about that they didn't like the word sovereignty. Because after all, it's not up to God. God may will it, but you've got to make a decision. And I grew up with that. And that was a part of my mentality. And I'll tell you, some of the best stuff I ever read in Greek and Hebrew and about healing and all that came from that, and I'm still a part of it. But most of what you heard in that movement is that God permits or allows. He never sins, he never causes. And I spent years in that. One of the guys I had, his name was Don Hughes Sr. He had some real excellent books, said the same thing as Hagin. But about halfway through, when he'd run out of what he had to say, and I'll say this, he was like a walking concordance. He gave more scriptures than I ever knew. You know, every movement's got their scriptures. Now, let's just be honest, you know. They got all their scriptures that they always use. And I like looking at other scriptures. That's why I got so many questions. Because this thing has got to harmonize first in our hearts and by listening to the Father. And then He begins to show us. Is if you go by literal, I can prove anything out of this. Because we have translations and distortions. But let me tell you something. The Father's voice is not distorted. Right. And we know in part and we see in part. But guess what? You're a part, you're a part, you're a part, you're a part. And then I kind of got into Watchman Nee. This Don here, when he'd run out of things, say, quote Don, Watchman Nee. And I started reading Watchman Nee. And he talked about brokenness. And man, that was my message for years. Brokenness. I can't tell you how many people that was involved with Charles Capps who threw me out of their office because they didn't like the word broken. I mean, God's going to break everybody. You're going to get broke. You're going to get broke. And that was my message. But listen, Watchman's true message was you're going to be broken and there's a release of the Spirit. We didn't hear about the release of the Spirit. It was all about brokenness. And there were, and one of the things that used to really irritate me is that Watchman didn't talk enough about the devil. You know, the devil is a liar coming up from America. You know, I can do all that. Where's all that? And this is something that bothered me for years of my life because Watchman more consumed about worshiping God than figuring out where the enemy is. And then I decided, man, I'm going to get into spiritual warfare. And I studied all the Greek and all the Hebrew and all these things. And, you know, I was looking for the devil under every bush and finding everything under the sun. But you know what happened? God began to give me people into my life. I began to read guys like Rick Joyner and Francis Frangipane and guys like Mike Bickle who talks about the passion of God and discernment. And all of a sudden, I began to realize that there was a whole different picture of the enemy that I had ever come into understanding. And that God was working all things to the good. You know, that was a scripture that we had to put so many conditions on. And so then I kind of went into 60-fold. And, you know, this may sound incredible. Or it may sound odd to your ears. But I grew up in a place that I began to sense that God was doing something so much bigger behind my back. And the reason I wasn't seeing it is because there was this real confusion in my life about law and grace. See, the word confusion is Latin. It's con with fusion. It's to see two things as one that are totally different. Joyce Meyer says the body of Christ needs a full understanding of law and grace. I submit to you that most people don't really understand law. They try to water it down. They're trying to make the law fit a little more prettier. And most people have really tried to tone down grace. So we're at a place that it doesn't matter the completed work. It's how are we seeing it? And you know, I'm going to say this next, just, you know, to have y'all throw stuff at me. But it made a lot of sense when I was in Word of Faith because everything was light, dark. Everything was good, bad. But then I begin to really understand, and I don't know why, but when the Word of Faith movement, we studied peace. Peace was a hard word. In Colossians it says, the peace of God in Amplified is your umpire. And the Message Bible says he'll call the shots. The word peace in Hebrew is the word shalom. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. The word peace in Greek is not the absence of war. It's the presence of something that's bigger than you. It's the presence of truth. We quote the scripture all the time. God will that no one perish, but what? Be saved. But then the next verse says, and come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes. See, we've missed that. We've missed the fact that it is the Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of truth that's pouring these things out. Now, how can we explain that when we was in Benny Hinn meetings, there were people coming that absolutely hated God, wanted nothing to do, they were there to, you know, mock the meeting, and they got healed? And I'm going to tell you something. I began to doubt the God that was presented to me as a child. I don't doubt the one I know is for real, but I doubted the one that was being presented. I had a misrepresentation. And I began to search, and I began to drive people crazy. And even in the Word of Faith movement, I was running around. You know, the scripture says that there's the spirit and the flesh. But in the Old Testament, he said, I'll give you a heart of the flesh. Now, how do you deal with that one? There were so many scriptures, and in the Word of Faith, this is what they kind of told me. They said, look, the New Testament, God don't create evil, but in the Old Testament, we don't know do these verses, so highlight them and never mention them. I was obsessed with these verses, God and evil. And I was hearing so much junk coming from the church of such a lack of clarity that I really didn't understand half of what I was reading. And I was studying this, and so I got into spiritual warfare and Koinonia Greek and Hebrew. And, I mean, I was studying all of this stuff. But you know what I was looking for? I offended God. That's who I was looking for. I was trying to confirm everything that I've been taught. And I'm not asking you today to give up that which you know. All I'm saying is we're searching. All the speakers here, we are saying this. We know something in here is not lining up. But the definition is not working. And so as I began to deal with this, one of the areas, and I'll challenge you with this. So some time went on, and I mean to tell you, boy, I was doing spiritual warfare conferences, and I decided to have a picture of me on the back of my book, and I wanted to look militant. I got that picture back. I looked like a serial killer. Because I had so consumed myself with war. And then, I mean, you know, I'm just... And they're like, do you really want to buy these? You really want this in your wallet? Because you ain't ever getting married when you see this. And I realized that I had took this war inside here.
You can do it.
Jesus has absolutely cleared, finalized, demonstrated. Remember John Osteen, demonstrating Satan's defeat. The Holy Spirit is here to demonstrate what has already been defeated. He's not here to, he's here to convince the world of righteousness. Look at the book of Revelation. We read that sucker out of context all the time. In fact, I realized one day when I did a summary that most of the people that I knew and growing up preached to me the book of Revelation, the Old Testament, and we kept out of the New Testament, except for the Gospels where Jesus was telling somebody else, yo, you vipers, you know, that kind of thing. I wasn't ever revealed anything about grace. And so some time went on, and I mean to tell you, I got really heavy on God is not the author of confusion. And I was meeting new people, and I started a new church, and I met a brother here that probably don't want me to tell his name, but I met a brother here, and he introduced me to things like Bill Britton and Kelly Varner. And I remember I was coming into a meeting with his kind of tag team, and he got up and said, God is the author of confusion. And I said, what? I never heard that one before. But how many times in our lives... How many times in our lives have we saw things as one that we think we had figured out? And you know what? The Father, in a Father's love, is gracious enough to let us get away with stuff. And when the time's right, He moves in and reveals the truth. You don't think there's confusion? You don't think there's mayhem? How am I looking on time, baby?
Looking good.
Let me tell you something. That's a preacher's lie right there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 33. Oh, I do a lot in 8 minutes. That's more than most time I get in big conferences. So much stuff up here I always carry. I need a minivan just parked right here. All the books and stuff I read.
Would you say 1 Corinthians 12?
Excuse me, 1 Corinthians
14:33.
14. I'm sorry. I've got a thing with numbers, y'all. You just got to... 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says, for God is not... the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. So I got a contradiction here, don't I? Except for a problem. Not is in italics. It's not in the original Greek.
How cool is that?
And peace means to set at one whatever was divided. To weld it together. So if I'm at peace, it doesn't matter how confused it is, He's the one that puts it together. So what is this saying? Look, there are things in our lives that God is going to mess up. Because let me tell you something. We all see in part. That's confusion. We all see things together. We all look at stuff in a perception. It don't matter if every one of you go through in this room, you will all walk away with a different experience. Now, I looked this up in the Greek, and I said, okay, if God is the author of confusion, which is going to, you know, I'm going to have to do some explaining there. It does say, let's go with the text that He's not the author. The word confusion there is the idea of to commotion. It's the idea of somebody moving about, scattered about in chaos. God is not the author of chaos. He is not the author of somebody just running around, going crazy, doing their own thing. But what we know of confusion, it's like a 30-fold, 60, 100-fold, because listen, when I run around and I'm trying to put this on God that you're confusing me, I can't blame God for my confusion. You know why? Because before the foundation of the world, he laid the iniquity of him all. It says, for the chastisement of his peace was upon me. So if he took my confusion at Calvary, it doesn't matter. But he subjected all to vanity. Vanity implies imagination. Vanity implies confusion. So I'm telling you tonight that you're going to hear some things that may confuse you, but it's because truth is going to mess you up.
All right, I love it.
But the word peace there is a wholeness. Now, when I started this looking this up, I found other translations like the Little Concordant that says God is not the author of commotion. Commotion in Latin is totally different because it's the idea of this person who is always trying to weld together motion. You know what? We are so caught up in this world with action. God's doing this. No, God's doing this. No, God's doing this. No, God's doing this. That's commotion. But confusion, there again, go back to the Latin, is where we see two things as one. I submit to you that whatever you're doing today, God is welding all things together in one.
Yes, that's good.
Now, let's go to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, what did God do at the Tower of Babel? It says he what? Confounded their languages. In the New Testament, it says when the Holy Spirit came, they were all confounded. Confounded is a form of confusion. Now, let me tell you something. All language comes from consciousness. And all of these people that have these different ideas of God, we would never reach them by telling them, you're wrong.
No.
We will never tell them, because you know what that is? Words confusion. It's there's two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Or I say the tree of the knowledge of cause and effect. Now, Mark, do you believe there's not sowing and reaping? In God, no. In me, yes. Because I'm reaping stuff in this heart that I put years ago. Francis Frangipane made a powerful statement one time when he said, I don't even know God's heart because I'm still knowing what this is. Now that's the key to humility, because when you come to understand who you are or whose you are, then you understand what he is and what he isn't. And Mark Sharona said it best, when you come to perfect love, everything that believes that God's not that good will be exposed.
Yeah.
Now somebody says, well, Mark, do you believe we're all going to come? I believe in promise. I don't understand process. I don't know the intricacies or the details, but I will tell you this. The scriptures talks about all is foreknown, but not all is foreordained. If I drive down the road and I have a flat, it might be because I just don't check my tires enough. But if somebody goes down the road and they come up to me and say, hey, I'm really going through something. That was foreordained.
Yeah.
How do you know the difference? Discernment.
Yeah. And the flat tire might introduce you to them.
Right.
You might be standing by the side of the road. Might be your tire goes flat. Yeah.
And I take that as what an old friend of mine said years ago. There's a difference in breakdown and breakthrough. When things break down, look for what's breaking through.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you right now, even confusion, even confusion is a state of peace.
Amen.
I got more questions than that. If your God's not big enough to be questioned, he's not big enough.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And I've got questions like I have never, ever had in my life. And let me tell you, I ain't going to try to force one answer, but I know when I hear it. And you do too.
Yep.
Because here.
Question against the road.
I got 2 minutes?
Yep.
Yeah,
one.
She's up. All right, she's backsliding. No. Somebody asked me about the word evil. In the 30-fold realm, I saw evil is everything bad. But in the 60-fold realm, I started learning about mercy and judgment. Let me tell you this about justice. God's justice gets involved, every single thing will be restored. He will do what he does, and it will all be to his good pleasure.
Yes.
But mercy is alignment. I gave a prophetic word. Some of you know Tom Deere. I gave him a prophetic word. I said, God just told me he's going to bring justice. And he goes, oh my gosh. Judgment. I said, justice and judgment are two different words. They're two different words in Hebrew. So that means he's going to restore everything. I said, but he's going to bring mercy. Oh, forgiveness. I said, wait a minute. Mercy's going to align everything. Well, I'm down there and I see this big deal, Katrina. I mean, my gosh, everyone down there got dead. That was the work of God. I don't believe that. I don't think mercy's that far off. I believe God does something. He does it. He ain't got to wipe out a whole people to get to you. Now, there's a difference in foreordained. How many of you now can say that you destroyed your life by a perception of God that wasn't true? And how many times did we seemingly work out our own salvation in the midst of that? I think back about stuff God did for me back when I was so confused. And I'd say I'm not now, because about the time I think I got it right, God does something different. I'll be reading something and say, please don't do this again. I'll say this and I'll talk more about it later. 30-fold, God permits or allows. 60-fold. What if we just understood that God's cause was Christ? And I don't have to ever play the cause and effect game because he's the cause and I'm the effect. Now what's the 100-fold? None of it matters. Because he is the cause. I don't even have to worry about the effect in the 100-fold realm because he's all there is. I never could understand when studying the tabernacle why the devil wasn't in the 100-fold realm. If he's not in the Holy of Holies, then why was my concern with him all the time? But see, this is all my process. Now, did I come to this overnight? No, I drove every one of y'all crazy that know me. And I'm still not happy. Why am I not happy? Because I know that God is satisfied. But I have a heart that's not. Confusion. Now, let's say I like Ron Ojo's thing. He said confusion's against fusion. Any decision... Well, I'm going to tell you, God could be the author of that, because how many times did he, from the beginning, knew what the plan was, but subjected you, as John Gavazzoni says, to his worst to bring out his best? And he's done it with every one of you.
Sure.
There is none of you that has here today that didn't come to your truth by theology and study. You came to your understanding. Because something in you may say, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. And when all of a sudden it connected, there was something inside of you. And it's still going on. God is a God that is totally satisfied that searches every heart.
Yep.
So here's what I say.
Hallelujah.
God is not the author of commotion, but he's the author of confusion because he loves paradox. Flesh and spirit, we've been fighting 20,000 years of defiance. We still can't do it. But in a moment of discernment, we know. We get rid of the word for sin, drive down the road, go right. God said, go left. Put whatever your word for it. But listen, he's not holding that to your charge. Because this is a heart thing. Now, I know I'm throwing a bunch of stuff. What I'll try to do tonight is I want to get into some things that I read from Kelly Varner, Bill Britton, different things, and I'm telling you, this has been such a shift. I'm not telling you where I'm at. I'm telling you, here is different paradigms. And who am I to say this is your paradigm? Glean what God reveals to you and what you don't. Hallelujah. Because I'm a man still searching.